From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Super Bowl episode this year. Chiefs, Bucks, Tampa, Florida. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found always on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course, BleedBlueShow.com. Go to the podcast tab of the website, and all the episodes of all the sports we do and for our teams, for the leagues and all that. Great sports dialogue with everybody from this week. We had a fantastic episode on Tuesday with the hockey. Shout out to the guys on there on the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud. They gave us their Super Bowl picks on that episode. Shout outs to Craig. Shout outs to Glenn. Shout outs to RP. And then, of course, the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum of the post game after the Bulls game. And we, you know, the guys on there gave their picks. You know, shout out to Don, shout out to Eli, shout out to Av, shout out to the gang out there, Coach Chris. And then, of course, the football. Now we turn our points to the final game of the, what would be the 2020 regular season, Kansas City. And Tampa, Mahomes, Brady, we all know the matchups. We know who's on the rosters. It's really about enjoying the game and who you think is going to win at the end of the day. Let me say this. You know, some of this episode, it may be loose-endish. You know, I may turn as far as what we like as fans, you know, as far as what we enjoy. You know, I'll throw some of those type of loose-end questions, you know, at the gang, and we'll have that dialogue on this episode. But before we even get into that and, you know, bring people along, let me say it like this. No, we're going to get back to our own squad, the football Giants, starting next Thursday, matter of fact. So next Thursday, we, you know, off-season football talk. It will be here at 8 p.m. all throughout the off-season at 8 p.m. And every other week basis, by the way. So it's going to be starting next Thursday. Then every other week after that, we'll get into the free agency. We'll get into our mock drafts, stakeholder mock drafts, all the way to the NFL draft in Cleveland, Ohio in April. So as long as those things are not postponed, we'll still continue having episodes for the football Giants and around the NFL on every other week basis starting next Thursday. All right. That'll be February the 11th. So, Chiefs and Bucks. Let's see what's going on. I don't know who is. I don't know who this is. Let's see. Who is this? Is this Carl? I don't know. I'm not exactly sure who's this. Who's this? Super Bowl Chiefs and Bucks episode.
Happy off season, Steve. What's happening?
Carl, what's up, man? I ain't talked to you in a minute, man. What's up, man? Happy off. Happy off season, man.
Yeah, happy. Yes, happy New Year. Happy New Year. How are things going?
No, we've talked since then. Remember, the Cowboy game was after New Year, right? Well, Happy New Year nonetheless.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are right.
Yeah.
Hey, wow, man, a month has passed by pretty quickly. I gotta say.
Yeah, you don't have to enjoy the heartache of our own squad. So this off season, we'll definitely analyze what we saw. You've seen everything. You've seen all the snap shit. You was, like I said, you were part of the less than 1% of all NFL fans who actually went to a game this year. So we'll definitely talk all that stuff starting next week. But this game, let me ask you this, man. Starting with this game, Chiefs and Bucks. No, before we even get into that, you know, do you have? I was going to throw this at, you know, Chris and everybody. What was your favorite Super Bowl? Whether it was Giant related or not Giant related, what was your favorite Super Bowl, man?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good question. You know, the first one that I thought, I'm going to take Giant ones away from here. The first one that I thought, right, where it seemed like the Super Bowl really got good and competitive was Super Bowl 32. That was the year where the Packers were favored by, I think, like 13 points against Denver. And it was fully expected that they were going to repeat and the Packers were going to take off and, you know, maybe, you know, be, you know, what the 49ers were and the Cowboys were in that dynasty type period. And the Broncos stopped them that day. And that was one of my favorite games. And from that, seemed like from that point on, Steve, the Super Bowl really got more competitive. If you remember, the NFC, I think, had won like 13 consecutive Super Bowls going into that one. You know, all the way from the Giants to the Cowboys to the Washington to, you know, Dallas and a whole bunch of others that I'm probably not even thinking about right now. And so you would get to the game, and the Super Bowl would almost be a formality. You know, the great teams of those days would get to the Super Bowl. The AFC team would basically show up and, for the most part, get wiped out. And Denver was the first team to sort of turn that around. And from that point forward, the, you know, a few exceptions here or there, the Super Bowl has been a pretty competitive game, you know, for four quarters.
Right, right. You know, I like the Rams-Patriots one when the Patriots were big underdogs. I think that was in New Orleans. That was Brady's first Super Bowl.
It was.
Actually. I remember.
Yeah, right after 9/11.
And remember, that's right. I can't believe that's like 20 years ago, man. Damn near. So that game, they were big underdogs, right? And I just remember even going before half, I think it was it wasn't Terry Glenn who caught the touchdown. Maybe it was Terry Glenn that caught the touchdown. And then especially at the end of the game, and I'd never forget it because I remember John Madden was, you know, that's when he was in the broadcast booth and he was like, they should play for overtime. They should play for overtime. And they ended up going upfield, bang, 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 and Vinatieri kicked the field goal. And it was crazy because the Rams, you know, that was a juggernaut team. They had Torrey Holt, Marshall Faulk, Kurt Warner was the MVP. I mean, they were Ricky Prohl. I mean, they were stacked. The left tackle, Orlando Pace. I mean, they were loaded, man. And the Patriots, they pulled it off. And another Super Bowl. I like the Seahawks and the Patriots one too. You know, they should have ran in there. We all know that, right?
But you know what? I mean, looking back at it now, I mean, I could see the why they passed the ball there. But that game, that game was an okay game right up until that, you know, when they came back from 10 points down. There's been the old like classic games. I probably like the best one that I never really was. I wasn't born yet. Was probably that those like Cowboys Steeler games of like the 70s. Like I think it's Super Bowl 10 is the one that people keep talking about. It's like the greatest game perhaps ever, you know, ever played. And I don't think we've really had one of those. Probably because the level of talent on both sides and the way the league is structured right now, you're not going to get like 10 Hall of Famers playing in a game anymore at once. You know, so it's almost kind of hard to like distinguish what we see now from what, you know, what was back then.
Right, right. Let's get Isaac on with us, man. Isaac, we're having a nice, lighthearted discussion. We're going to go through all the fun Super Bowl stuff, and then we'll get into the real stuff with the actual game. But I already know your favorite Super Bowl game. You can let the audience know. But if you could pick a non-Giants favorite Super Bowl, a game where the Giants weren't involved, tell the audience your favorite Super Bowl involving the Giants. I know the answer. We could tell the audience. But tell your non-favorite Super Bowl game. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. How you guys doing? Long time.
Pretty good, man. Yeah, pretty good, man.
Yes, sir.
Man, you know, thinking about all the great Super Bowls that the Giants have been involved with, you know, I'd probably go to that Arizona-Pittsburgh one, you know, that back-and-forth game.
Yeah.
You know, Larry Fitz scores that touchdown. Yeah. You think the game is over at that point. And then the Steelers go back down the field and score and win that game. I mean, that's probably one of my top Super Bowls of recent memories.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, you got to go back to the Eagles-Patriots one. That turned out to be a good one, unfortunately.
I didn't like the results.
I didn't like the results either, but, you know, I mean, in just football, you know, if you take the teams away, I mean, it was a good Super Bowl. And my favorite Super Bowl was Super Bowl 42. I mean, it was absolutely a classic. Sitting there in that end zone on the opposite side, lower level, and watching Plaxico wide open, and that ball just seems like it was floating forever. I was like just praying he didn't drop that ball. And the Patriot fan in front of me finally shut up after all day talking. I mean, that's definitely one of my favorite Super Bowls.
The, Now, I'm glad that both of you guys could speak. Because if I'm not mistaken, Carl, did you not go to Super Bowl 46 in Indianapolis?
I went down there the Saturday of, and I left the Sunday morning of the game. I passed on getting tickets. It's a crazy story that goes into it, but I passed on tickets day.
No. The reason I'm glad Isaac is on, and I'm glad you're on, because, you know, we are sports fans at, like, the Talk Sports, of course, but we also like to share that firsthand sports experience. Like, how was that weekend in Indianapolis? I think you said that story before in the past. I don't know if it was even on the show or not. Maybe it was in passing. But, you know, what was the vibe like at Super Bowl 46 in Indianapolis? That, you know, those two teams, the Giants and the Patriots, where, and then when Isaac, you know, when Isaac gets back on, we'll get his experience when he was in Arizona 4 years earlier. Well, what was the vibe like that week? Because, you know, as crazy as it may sound, it may not, I never even experienced a Super Bowl weekend. I, like, firsthand, go to the city and do that. But give me your experience of how it was, the vibe, the energy, and all that other stuff. And then we'll get Isaac's thoughts on that.
You know, it was interesting. We actually drove the 3 hours from Chicago to Indianapolis that morning. And when we got down to downtown, I'd never been to Indianapolis before in my life, ever. So I didn't, you know, I didn't know what to expect. But we get down there, and the atmosphere just all over the streets were packed. It was just this, like, festive atmosphere all over the place. And it was, I was like, wow. And I remember thinking going in, we're like, you know, you can't put, you know, Boston people and New York people in the same town and ask them to get along for a weekend. Like, how is this really going to play out? But as it turned out, like, everybody just was friendly. Everybody got along. Everybody was just kind of there for the good time. And it was a very, from all the places, you know, you go down to with the NFL experience that they had in the, I don't know which hotel that was. I forgot the top of my head. Maybe it was the Hilton. And all the stuff that sort of surrounded it. It was just such a fun time. And I remember thinking, I was like, wow, maybe Indianapolis is a really nice town. I go back there 1 year later for a Knicks playoff game. There's, like, nobody in the town. Literally nobody was there. And it was like two different worlds. So that the festive thing, and I don't know how it is this year in Tampa, probably, you know, pandemic related, it's going to be a little bit different. But just being there for that was an enlightening, and it was a great experience. I would recommend anybody that gets a chance. I don't know how it does in New Orleans, or, you know, I know there's probably going to be a Super Bowl in Vegas one of these years. Like, whenever that happens, like, just go down to, like, the Friday or the Saturday of, and you'll have a great, great experience.
All right. Isaac, what was your experience of Super Bowl 42 in Arizona? You know, all the festivities, the events leading up to the game. You saw, you know, the same two fan bases there in Arizona. Like, how was it for you, man? Your experience, man. How was it for you?
Well, Arizona is different for the Super Bowl because of how spread out it is, you know, because of the cost. You know, you had Tempe, you had Scottsdale, you had a lot more parties going in different areas. So it wasn't a typical Super Bowl atmosphere, but it was still a lot of fun. I mean, every night there was a different party. The fan base is, you know, it's always fun because people are excited to be there. Most people, you know, they wait a lifetime to go to a Super Bowl, and they're paying tons of money, so you're not getting a lot of riffraff there. You just feel the energy in the air, and I think you feel it more on the Saturday before the game, more so than any other day. You start feeling that nervous energy. You know, at the NFL experience, you start feeling like it's time to go. Let's go. It's game day. Let's play this game now. And then the Sunday is different than a regular game day because it's spread out a lot longer. Super Bowl doesn't start at 6:30. You go in the stadium at probably about 4:30, 5 o'clock. And you're the only one. If you have a ticket for Super Bowl, you can get the NFL experience again, which is pretty cool to go experience on the day of the game because you have all the different networks, ESPN, Fox, all the CNNs and all that broadcasting. And just hearing the different commentary is absolutely amazing. And I tell you what, it's definitely worth an experience. Like last year, I went down to Miami for the Kansas City Niners Super Bowl and just tuck in the festivities.
Oh, how was that?
Went to different parties.
Oh, that's right, you did go there. That's right. That's right.
And, you know, because everything was in one location, basically, of the parties in Fort Lauderdale. You know, they had the Niners section, they had the Kansas City section. And it was just a lot of fun because you had nothing really invested in the game. So you were able to go talk to the old players and stuff and actually enjoy the game itself. And it was definitely well recommended. I mean, if it wasn't a pandemic, I'd probably be out in Tampa right now, to be honest with you.
Mm. Man, this guy, yeah, that's right. I remember you were definitely you made it a point to go get down to Miami. I remember you were campaigning to get down there. That's right. You were there. You were going hard. I remember that. That's right. You know, as far as Carl, let me get your thoughts as far as the last round, maybe two from the NFC side. You know, I thought the Packers were going to pull it off, and because I thought they would have got a little bit of revenge against the Buccaneers from the regular season game. It did not happen like that, and I think a lot of people are criticizing Matt LaFleur. As far as decision for kicking the field goal. But nonetheless, Tampa Bay gets past Washington. They get past New Orleans. They get past the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this is a hell of a run for Brady, whether it's no fans, fans or no fans. I think, you know, the quarterbacks he's beating are on his way to meeting up with Mahomes is, I mean, it obviously is paramount. Now, the forecast, you know, I'm not trying to play Al Roker or nothing like that, but it's supposed to rain in Florida or Tampa on Sundays, kind of like almost maybe a situation kind of like when we saw in 06 with the Bears and the Colts. But anyway, what's your thoughts in this game, Carl, as far as Brady? It's a home field technically, but it's a neutral site. And I don't know what kind of presence Buck fans are going to have at that game. I don't think it's even going to matter. But how do you see it from Brady's approach going up against Mahomes? And you know he's kind of wanting – a piece of him. What's your thoughts on that? And we'll go back to Isaac.
I think this whole game kind of comes down to Tampa's defense. If I remember watching the first game that they played against each other in that same stadium just after Thanksgiving, and in the first half, the Chiefs found a bunch of holes in Tampa Bay second. I think Tyreek Hill in that first half, I think, had like 210 yards, I think it was, in the first half. And the Chiefs were up, I think it was 20-3, something along those lines, like, and then held on at the end of the game. So that was the issue, is that Tampa's defense really from that day on has improved a lot. But the problem is that they haven't played a team as comparable as Kansas City since then. So whatever we've seen, I almost want to throw it out, because when you're facing Mahomes and Kelce and Tyreek Hill and those guys – you know, anything you probably have done previously almost doesn't really matter. And I'm wondering how much Tampa's defense has learned from that experience and how they play this game. Because what's also going to be different this time around as well is the offensive line injuries of the Chiefs, and seeing how much, if at all, they play into the game on Sunday. It seems as if the Chiefs have been able somehow, some way, you know, from the guys that opted out. I forgot the guy's name. He went back to Canada to be a doctor during the COVID period. Schwartz has been out. What's his name? The left tackle Fisher injured, tore his Achilles in the game on Sunday. So, you know, they're playing with, you know, basically a makeshift offensive line. And I'm wondering, you know, whether or not Tampa can really wreck the game up front. If they can and make things uncomfortable for Mahomes, perhaps things can be a little bit different, but it seems as if Mahomes just needs just a little. And it, you know, some quarterbacks need a certain amount of time. Seems like Mahomes just needs slightly less than most to make those big plays, and I wonder how much that comes into play this Sunday.
All right. Isaac, what about you, man? Your thoughts as far as this game, the matchup, Brady coming into another Super Bowl, and his NFC run, I think, is pretty good. Even though fans are no fans, I think it's still pretty good. But what's your thoughts on how you see this matchup from a top-level situation?
Well, it starts with Vita Vea and, you know, Sue and
you know, JPP and Golston. I mean, those four are going to be a nightmare. And what this does, and JPP wasn't healthy the last time they played either, and Vita Vey was out too. The difference will be because of Remmers being in there, and who's the other guy replacing on the offensive line? I can't even think of it off the top of my head. But, you know, having the two replacements on that offensive line with those four up front are going to cause nightmares. And what that's going to do, it's going to take Kelsey out of that pass game, and Kelsey's going to have to stay in and block. So I think that's where the game's going to be won. You know, JPP, Veta, Sue, Golston, if they can get the Mahomes and make them uncomfortable in that pocket, Tampa's going to win this game big and going away. You know, they're very tricky with their plays, Kansas City. You know, everything's like 2 to 5 yards, little screens and stuff. And where Tampa is very good is tackling at the line of scrimmage. Now, if you get the ball down the field, that's a different story. And, you know, they did get the ball down the field quite a few times the last matchup, but they were healthy at that offensive line. You know, I believe Tampa is going to find a way to win this game. You know, talking about the fans, you're going to have mostly probably 17, 18,000 Tampa fans. You're not having all the corporate people there as usual. You know, you're going to have real fans in that building. You know, I don't know who the healthcare workers
nice.
Are rooting for.
No corporate.
You know, yeah,
we don't like corporate.
We don't like corporate these days, you know, but, you know, you have real fans in there. I mean, you look at the prices. I mean, the prices are low for today being Thursday. I mean, I saw tickets for $4,000 a couple minutes ago, which I've never seen at this point.
Wow.
You know, normally they're starting to skyrocket again.
Hmm.
So
it's going to be
fun.
What section is that? Four level? Lower level?
317.
Lower?
Yeah, 317,
oh,
row
okay.
R. I mean, I sat up there for the Giants-Ravens Super Bowl, and it wasn't bad. I mean, it was still a good seat. I mean, it's not a bad seat in Raymond James.
Right.
Yeah, we were there last
year. Yeah, it was a fun stadium.
We're sitting in the end zone. It was a tremendous time.
Yeah, good stadium. You know, I want to, you know, this is just a fan level. I'll get back to the guy. I'm kind of curious. Now, you guys were talking about fan experiences because in Indianapolis – obviously, all these teams, you know, I mean, I'm just looking at it from a fan level. This has nothing to do with the game. I'm talking about fans, you know, go to the NFL experience or whatever, convention centers. But do you, I don't know the answer. I might have to look it up on some Buccaneers website or Buccaneers fan site. I wonder if the fans could somewhere tailgate nearby. You know, Carl, you've been there, and Isaac, you've been there. There's a lot of tailgating ground out there. I think they got to do something for the Buck fans, man. So something socially distanced or something. I mean, this is Super Bowl in your home city, man. You don't. This never happens, man. You gotta do something.
I,
for your
you
fans,
know what?
Man.
Well, you know, I think because it's not a quote unquote home game necessarily, even though it's being played in their stadium, and with all the rules they've been putting in on, you know, restricting tailgating in a lot of these states. You know, even when we went to Dallas, there wasn't. You couldn't really. They didn't even let you. Really do it down here either. So I don't, it's basically an NFL, this time it's more of, it's not really a Tampa sponsored event. It's more of an NFL sponsored event. So while the Buccaneers are, you know, the city team and if they're playing in this stadium, I don't think that they're going to be setting things up to, you know, cater to them necessarily. It's unfortunate, but that's sort of one of the, you know, the downfalls I think of being that, you know, we kind of wondered like, how does the home team, you know, play in the stadium? How does that play out? And I think it might look a lot like what you see in college, where you see certain teams where they're like, I think like the University of Miami is like one that comes to mind where they played the championship like in their home stadium way back when, maybe like 20 years ago, 20, 25 years ago. But they were not really treated as if they were quote unquote the home team. It just, the stadium's just kind of there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, well, you know, I'll have to holler at a couple of Buck fans or holler at some of the season ticket guys to see if what it is with them. Let's see. Billy Bob. I think that's Billy Bob. Billy Bob, what's going on, man? We're talking Super Bowl, Chiefs, Bucks, talking with Carl, talking with Isaac, myself. What's going on, man? How do you look at this, you know, this matchup from a, you know, top level? Brady, his run through Washington and New Orleans and Green Bay. Now he had technically has a home game versus Mahomes, who's been pretty much, you know, his dominant self over the last couple of seasons, and something's got to give, bro. How you doing, man? What's your thoughts on the Super Bowl matchup, man?
My thoughts. Hey, can I say this? Now that I look at the Super Bowl run by Tom Brady, I want to just say how valuable Eli Manning was because he knocked him off twice. So we're going to base this line off of that. But but as far as
but you know who else knocked him off twice too, though? It may have been twice. It was Spags wasn't involved in it.
Oh, Spags, yeah. Okay. Let's get Spags. Oh, no, Flag wasn't. I think Flag was in the 40, second one.
Spags was there for 42, but Perry Fuel was there for 46.
Perry Fuel, that's right.
Okay.
That's right. I couldn't remember. That's right. Spags came back after
but
that.
Far as,
go ahead.
Yeah. So far as the Super Bowl, man, it's going to be a great one, man. And it's kind of hard to pick. But let's just say, man, do you want to go with the talented team? A very talented team, and I might just go with Kansas City because let me take that back. Let's put it like this here. Yeah, Spag, man, they got Spag, so it's a big help for them. So yeah, I see Kansas City might taking this one over if they can just take the lead and hold the lead and just spread apart. What they gonna do if they jump out? It's game over. I really think that Kansas City gonna take over, but. If Spag come out there with that defense, man, like how I think he should, Tom Brady is grounded. Is grounded. That's how I see it, man. Well, as far as Tom Brady, you know that you can't never bet against this guy unless you got Eli on your team.
Yeah. I mean, it's really remarkable, Carl Isaac and Billy Bob, that this guy – just 1 year. I mean, he literally went from New England, took over James Winston's team, and is in the situation that he. I think that's really phenomenal. I know people are going to say, no fans in the stands, but you got to play with the cards you're dealt, man. I mean, I think it's still remarkable at the end of the day, man. And I'm not one of these big blue fans that are like, I hate Tom Brady. I never had that vibe. Like, I know a lot of fans think like that. I don't know why, especially when we beat them twice. But especially, he kind of actually gets that stigma of all those years with the Deflategate off his back. I mean, it's probably some people are going to still hate about it. And then also the Spygate. But that's kind of more attached to Bill Belichick now that you took this dude, removed him from the situation. He's the variable, part of this situation for 20 years in Foxborough. You take him away from that situation, he got you to a Super Bowl with a whole other team, a whole different conference. I mean, that is just crazy to me. But, Carl, we talk about these matchups, man. And, you know, you brought up a good point. Ndamukong Suh, a guy who is – he is probably drooling as far as really hungry for a Super Bowl because, you know, he's had, you know, dominant seasons with the Lions and he had a stint with the, you know, the Dolphins. JPP was almost I would call him an outcast, but he kind of – you know, it was when he got traded from the Giants to the Bucks, it's like it's almost like he was written off. Like, oh man, he went to the Bucks, so, you know, they're not going nowhere. You got a whole bunch of these guys, B.O.B., who's been there for a little bit, Levante David. These are guys that are hungry for a chip. And you got, you know, guys who've been in a position like Gronkowski and Brady, of course. And then, you know, Mike Evans, what about the angle of being hungry for a Super Bowl? Who's more hungry? I mean, I think they're all hungry, but who wants it really, really more? I mean, just regardless of the talent, you know, playing for the other player, is it Tampa, is it Kansas City? Because Kansas City, it's like, I don't know. I mean, maybe they got that competitive spirit, but Kansas City may look at it as if, okay, if we lose, well, he's, you know, we got one out of two where there's no pressure on Andy Reid. What's your thoughts as far as, you know, the Ndamukong Suh-type players on the don't have a chip, you know? The Levante Davids, Shaq Barrett, and all those cats. What about those from Tampa? And then we go to Isaac and back to Billy Bob.
Well, you know, for the individuals, the guys that haven't, you know, had that opportunity, there's always a little bit of, you know, extra juice. To try to get that one and, you know, get that ring and, you know, put yourself into the history books. does it make a difference per se in the game itself? I don't think so. I think when the game is played, guys are just kind of are just going at it. You know, they're not – one guy's not playing at 97%, another guy's playing at 108. I've never thought that. I just – it's just, you know, my own personal thing on that. So from, you know, guys that haven't had that ring, like the guys you just mentioned, that's one thing. So on the other side for the Chiefs, you know, there's going to – there seems to be an assumption going around that the Chiefs are just going to keep being back there for, like, the next, like, 10 years. And I'm not totally sure about that, mainly because of attrition, you know, selfishness, disease of me, as Pat Riley once said. You know, I think – if they win this game, they'll be looked at in history as when teams are remembered, back to back titles will always be something that's attached to them. You know, Seattle never got back there when it looked like they were going to when they got stopped at the 1 yard line in that game against New England. So from both sides, really, you know, there's a lot of motivation to win this game for reasons historically as well as just personally.
Yeah, Isaac, what's your thoughts as far as guys' desire to want it? What about other outlooks from this game that you're looking at as far as keys to the game? That you know you have Tampa winning. What about the keys for Kansas City on the Kansas City side, or what are the keys you want to emphasize from Tampa, and then we'll go to Billy Bob?
Well, Kansas City just has to play their game, but they have to be able to block up. You know, they might have to use the fullback a little bit more than they'd like. And, you know, keep Kelce in. I think, you know, you look at how humbled Mahomes is, Kelce, you know, Andy Reid, you know, and you also have Eric Bieniemy, who was passed up for jobs. You know, he definitely wants to put a display up on offense and show, you know what, this has been me. It's not just Andy Reid. This is my offense. This is my staple. This is why we are where we are today. I mean, you haven't seen half the plays that Reid has run in Kansas City when he was calling plays over in Philadelphia. So, I mean, you know what? At the end of the day, Kansas City is definitely hungry. But I think you got more cats on Tampa looking to feed on this and looking to get the job done. JPP, if you heard the press conference the other day, he's like, man, it feels like forever since I've been in the Super Bowl. I feel like I'm reborn, and you can see it all season. You know he's hungry to go get himself a Super Bowl and just make things happen. And you got White, and you got Sue, and you got a lot more guys on that Tampa team who did not win a Super Bowl or have experienced the Super Bowl. You only have a handful of guys on that team that has experienced the Super Bowl. You know, and for Gronk and maybe even for JPP, this could be their last run at a Super Bowl, and the same thing for Brady. And then you also look at the Kansas City side, you got 24 free agents and a lot of key free agents next year. So this might be their last run. Then you also have the contracts. You know, a lot of these guys are like, you know what, I want to get paid now. You know, I've gotten the gold. I've taken this team to that next level. Now it's my turn to get paid. And you can't pay everybody. And that's what Mahomes is going to learn as he goes forward. You know, being one of the highest paid quarterbacks is, you know what, I'm going to have to take less if I want to get back here again. I could be the greatest quarterback in the world. If I don't have talent around me, we're not going to get to that point again.
Mm-hmm.
And the other key, Antonio Brown.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah.
Antonio Brown.
Another one.
Is going to play a big factor in this game.
So you believe that the guys like those Antonio Browns, Adamica Sue's, JPP's, well, JPP won one, but it's been a minute for him. So those type of guys who it's been a long time or haven't at all, that intangible to get one, the desire to get one, do you think that plays a factor than just the talent itself, or what's your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. It plays a big factor. Because you're hungry. You know, if you haven't eaten in a while, you're going to play a lot harder. You know, Kansas City's been experienced a lot more success over the last 3 years. I mean, played three straight AFC championship games. This is their second Super Bowl. It should probably be their third. So, you know, content a little bit. And, you know, I wonder what the difference is this year, is that they're hanging back in Kansas City a lot longer than they normally would go fly to a host city for a Super Bowl. So I wonder if that plays a factor.
Mm. Okay. And Billy Bob, I want to get your thoughts. Same thing, but also I want to say that's another point as far as, you know, you don't have to travel. You could I don't even know. I mean, I really don't know the answer to this. Maybe you guys know the answer, and you can answer when it comes back to you guys. As far as, is Tampa treating this like a Super Bowl, or are they actually staying at, because they live there, they can stay in their own beds, you know, their normal routine. Like, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I didn't really follow that level of detail. And sometimes those things make a difference if you're in your comfort zone, where instead of like you're on the road for a week in the same hotel and you're restricted of COVID. But Billy Bob, what's your thoughts as far as the intangible part of the guys who haven't had it or it's been a while? Do you see that playing a factor in a game like this? And what other additional thoughts do you have?
Okay, yeah. As far as well, I think everything is the same. I think everybody going through their normal routines because of the COVID. So I don't really think that's going to play a factor, because I think every team is moving according to their normal plans. Like if it was just like playing out through the season, the regular emotions and the regular everything. But far as I want to say, just like what you said, as far as that goes, I want to know, is Kansas City looking back at their last Super Bowl, even with San Francisco having Jimmy Garoppolo, are they looking at Tampa's defense like we can't come out how we did last year's Super Bowl, where we had these type of mistakes and had to make this comeback, had to throw up a pass. So I want to know if they're gonna come out on a firing stick to go, because one thing you can say about Tom Brady in his Super Bowls, all his games came within 3 points and 4 points. So I don't think Kansas City is going in there, they're gonna play a carefree game where they like, okay, we can play this way and then we'll come back. I think they're going to come in there and turn it on very quickly, because they know what they're up against. Because this is Tom Brady, not Jimmy Garoppolo. And I can almost say that I think 49ers had a way better – did 49ers have a way better defense than Tampa? I'm not quite sure. I don't know what the rankings is on that there. You think 49ers had a better defense?
I thought the Niners' defense was a lot hotter than – with Tampa Bay defense.
Yeah, they playing well, but I have to say that 49 defense was a little bit more tad better. So I want to – that's why I'm like thinking like they are coming out there to jump on Tom Brady and I'm going to get this game over with. Because if you look at Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, like I said, he only had a 3-point loss and a 4-point loss. All his games were relatively close. So if we think – I'm like, Kansas City should go out and blow them out, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout. But Kansas City need to blow them out if they really, really want this Super Bowl. Because I think if it's within a 3-point game or a 4-point game, I think Tom Brady will close this one out and win this Super Bowl. But if it's a blowout, it's Kansas City way.
Go ahead.
We said, Dominic Sue, was he in the Super Bowl with the Rams? Did he go to the Super Bowl with the Rams, or was that the year before that? Is this making his second time in the Super Bowl?
Well, he hasn't won one. We know that. I thought he already had left at that point. Maybe I'm mistaken when he played that Super Bowl versus the Patriots. He may have been. I got to double check that. But regardless, he didn't win. We know that. That's a fact. So that's even
so
more.
He might be hungry.
More, you know,
yeah, he's just more be hungry. Yeah.
Same guy. You know, that's a lot of great points. I agree with you, Billy Bob. I want to get Carl and Isaac's opinion on that. As far as, yeah, I thought the San Francisco defense last year, it was more solid than Tampa. Not to say Tampa is not playing well. I just think even if you go back to the Super Bowl last year, Jimmy Garoppolo missed it. I think it was Emmanuel Sanders. And had he hit it on
yes,
Sunday, we'd probably having a different conversation. You know,
yes,
how
that's why I said
that
quarterback
played out.
Thing, yes.
Yeah, and Mahomes wasn't all that great because that Niner defense was so good. Maybe he kind of has motivation to play better in the game on this Sunday. Carl, I do like the running back combination for the Chiefs. Even if Hilaire Edwards is, whether he's banged up or whatever, I thought Darrell Williams has got some good runs this postseason, even in the end of the regular season. And you said, I know Isaac said about Kelce, you know, may have to do some inline blocking. There's so much account you have to account for this Kansas City offense. I mean, Tyreek Hill is just a burner. I think he cooked them in the first game. I mean, it was just bad. And I don't even think Tampa's secondary is really suspect. So, I mean, just that alone is just, I worry about the you know, the Tampa Bay, the back end of the Tampa Bay defense. But Carl, what other aspects of this game, man? Like you, the key pointers, you know, if you had to make a case for either team, if you had to make a case for Tampa, you know, you mentioned the defense earlier. What about any other areas? And then Isaac, and then back to Billy Bob.
For Tampa, the one thing. The third down conversions that they had in the first half of the Packer game, I want to see how that plays out a second time in this game. Because I think the one thing that I've been trying to wonder, like, what's the best way to beat the Chiefs, right? And there's been a couple of schools of thought. One theory is, well, just possess the ball for 37, 38 minutes and limit the Chiefs' possessions. And then I think to myself, I said, well, you know, the Chiefs are really good at just taking the ball and scoring in three plays. So what difference does that make? So, like, I've been trying that the idea of, you know, trying to outscore them and just, you know, go score for score. And if the score is 41-38, so be it. And I think that might be the way that it plays out on Sunday in terms of the high-scoring game. I think one thing I'm also looking at as well is that cheap offensive line, we're talking about that. On the other side, I want to see if the Tampa Bay secondary specifically has made any real adjustments to what Tyreek Hill is going to do. I don't see it. I know that they've had a couple guys play better this last couple weeks. That Murphy Bunting, who's been tremendous this postseason. I think he's got like three interceptions. It seems like he's had one in every game so far that they've played in the playoffs. You know, can they – because I don't think doubling Tyreek Hill, I don't think that does anything. We saw in the Super Bowl, it was 3rd and 15. The 49ers had played great for about 54 minutes. And on 3rd and 15, they go cover 3 or cover 4, and Tyreek Hill still got behind the defense for 60 yards. So there's different ways and different aspects of the game. I keep wondering, and I haven't been able to put my finger on it.
All right. Isaac, what are other keys from this game that you would like to, add to this? Or if you have even a question for Carl or Billy Bob, you know, about this game, and feel free to ask or feel free to give your comment on anything else that we're missing. I know you all Tampa Bay, you have no, there's a lot of your factor to the decision, like what Carl said, as far as a lot of the, you know, Fisher's out for left tackle and, You know, they're shuffling their line. You think it's going to make a big deal as far as going up against a hungry defensive line of the Tampa Bay Bucks, or any other points you'd like to make?
All right. First, Sue played in the Super Bowl with the Rams 2 years ago.
Okay.
And another factor for Sue in this upcoming Super Bowl is he's having his first set of kids. So, you know, he's definitely has some milestones there. You know, this could be it for him. On the Chiefs side, Watkins, you know, I was just laying here thinking about it. I'm like, you know, Watkins has not been a factor in the playoffs. Hasn't been a factor probably since week 14 or 15. You know, he could play a big factor in this game. You know, you take away Tyreek Hill, or if you're trying to take away Edwards in the backfield. I mean, Kansas City has so many weapons. I mean, the only way you're going to beat them is by getting that pressure. How healthy is Mahomes with the running? And then, you know, you go back to the Tampa side, Jones at running back being healthy probably for the first time, probably since December, that could be a big factor in this game. And then you also have Forsett, who's been running well. I don't know if you're Tampa, you try to be a little bit more patient, you're a little bit ground to pound, try to shorten the possessions of these games and probably try to get 6 possessions each. And then whoever has the ball last probably wins this game. And maybe take the approach of the Giants of Super Bowl 25, you know, going against that high-powered Buffalo offense. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. You know, is Otis Anderson going to suit up? Carl, well, why didn't you go to the game in Indianapolis? I was like shocked when I heard that. You know, I was going to go up there, but I lost my job, and the tickets were so cheap for that Super Bowl.
that were, you know, that well that Saturday night we were actually looking for tickets on that strip area where they had all, you know, all the stuff kind of congregated. But the prices that they were asking for at that time, I think it was, how much was the guy offering on the street? Because he was showing us the tickets. It was like, I think it was like $2,500 or $2,600. And we're like, eh, let's hold and see. You know, this was just when StubHub was just coming around. So, you know, if this, if you had fast forward this like to like now, you know, if you go, you know, you'd be on your phone looking right off the bat and, you know, ordering online, stuff like that. In this case, we would have been buying off a guy off the street. And that was a little shaky. But as it turned out, we ended up, I ended up leaving like around 3 or 4 a.m. with a friend heading back to Chicago the next morning. The guy stuck around. And that they were going to drive back too. They were actually on the road, and one of our friends, Jackie, her and her dad got tickets, and they were like, "All right, let's look back on StubHub." And one of our guys, and he was sitting in the back, and he refreshed, and all of a sudden, found 4 tickets, like 10 rows from the end zone, for like $1,200. And so they quickly put the order in, and they drove the car basically back on the other side of the road, back to Indianapolis. They were like halfway home as it was. They drove all the way back and they went to the game, and obviously, you know, we saw what happened a few hours later after that. So that was their story. Cost was the big number that was in my determination of not going that day.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad your friends got in. I mean, cause you cannot beat that,
yeah,
that experience, especially that, that kind of game where the Giants actually won.
I know, that's the thing. I remember, you know, one thing back in for 42, you know, I was debating whether or not I should go to that. But at that point, I didn't know if the Giants were really going to win the game or not. Because the one thing I remember being told was that the one thing you don't want to do is go to the Super Bowl where your team loses. Like, that's like the worst thing ever.
I'm going to jail that night.
That is the worst feeling. I was there for the Giants-Ravens in 2001.
Yo,
over there in Tampa.
I would have spent $10,000 in these motherfuckers' rules? Oh, hell no. No, that's not going to happen. Nobody gets out of this. Nobody's going home tonight. You fuck all that shit. That's my reason. And plus, you know, they were heavy underdogs in 42 as well. Billy Bob, any additional thoughts?
All right, listen. Hey, there's another, I mean, listen, I want to know if Tom Brady is going to play one of these throwback games where he becomes the 11th man. Defense, and what I mean by that, where he just take, like, you you've seen it from Tom Brady constantly, and you've seen it from Peyton Manning, where they take these drives after these long drives, and they just completely just have your ass sitting on the sideline looking stupid, like what he might have did to Aaron Rodgers. I don't see them. I don't see Tom Brady, Peyton Manning do this to a lot of numerous quarterbacks, where they have them sitting on that sideline with nothing else to do, and you're going to watch them the whole game. And it's like they play basically playing defense with time possession. That's where that's the only possible way I can see another way of Tampa winning if Tom Brady becomes that 12-man on defense where he just says, hey, guys, we're going on our long drives, times after time. And that's how you keep – that's the only way I think that you could beat Kansas City in that way. Well, we could sit there and say Kansas City can go down the field on 3 plays, but you're dealing with a Todd Bowles. And that can help Todd Bowles immensely with his pressure, and to have the lead and have Tom Brady do that right there is drive down, because he had that type of offense where we can just say, we can just drive down the field. We can go on 10 play, 11 play drive, and he has that type of players. So that's where I see that key component of Tom Brady playing defense, of time possession. That's where I can see it. That's where I can see it, where Tampa Bay can probably get in and sneak one out.
All right,
well, Billy Bob, that's
Billy
what I was
Bob,
talking
man,
about.
Good points. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, Billy Bob, that's what I was talking about. The third down situation, because if in that first half against the Packers, you know, the Bucks were, I think there was some 3rd and 7, some 3rd and 8. I think on one play it was a 3rd and 13 on some of their scoring drives
in that
game. They got up and they converted. You know, like, there were some drop passes before that, you know, had the guys caught, there would never have been third down. But, you know, those sort of crushing third downs, if the Packers just get the Bucks off the field maybe once or twice in the first half, all of a sudden the way that game is played out maybe look a little bit different. But instead, you know, that first drive, I think there was like 3 or 4 third downs in a row that they kept hit one by one. Yeah, and it set up a situation where all of a sudden now the Packers in a situation where it's like, all right, we got to do something with this ball here, because if we don't, Brady's locked in and we're in a bad spot. So that's what I'm wondering. That in the first, you'll notice in the first half, if can't get off the field in the first half, then you know that something's up.
And to add to that, and let me tell you why, and to add to that, that's where the three interceptions came at, because I thought Tom Brady was trying to push the issue when he was trying to step on his neck. And I'm like, hold on, these are missed interceptions that he threw, even though there was pressure, some was off balance, but it was a time point where Tom Brady knew he had to put the pressure on Aaron Rodgers, and he kind of messed up. But I think his defense got him through, and I think his offense that was very good, they got through that game. But this game, I think they're going to be very calculated on all their moves and to keep that ball out of Kansas City hands. That's the only way I see it going down.
Shout-outs to Billy Bob. Shout-outs to Carl. Now, you know, I almost spazzed and flipped my script as far as, you know, if I was to spend five figures on a game and my team loses, it would be all hell to pay. However, me and this guy, you know, we came up on the GameStop stock this past week, so all is well in the world. Bring on Chris, you know, winning on this GameStop stock, so we, you know, money ain't a thing at this point. No, I'm just fucking with you. What's going on, homie? How you doing,
man? I made, bro, let me tell you something. I may sound tired, but I came off on GameStop, bro. I'm so happy. I'm good to go for the next 3 years. I'm going to leave it right there. Anyway, what's up, gentlemen?
I'm trading places.
I know it's
gentlemen
because I've been listening to the show for 10 minutes. So I ain't heard no lady, so hopefully I ain't going to get in trouble for that. But look,
No customers.
Listen, man, you guys are on point. This is the best show on any podcast, man, because you guys, all we got is experts here, for real experts too, Steve, and I appreciate that. Listen, I know Vegas and everybody, all these so-called experts on TV and what have you, have Kansas City running away with this, and they do got a point. They really do got a point, man. You know, look, the Chiefs will have nothing but, you know, and this is the first half I'm talking about, will have nothing but opportunities for success, okay? I mean, I know Tampa Bay, their pass rush can probably potentially, you know, pose some problems, especially with Mahomes has that turf toe and Eric Fisher has Achilles, and, you know, I don't know what's up with that, but this is a Chiefs team that doesn't let you down, and they come out firing, and so you can definitely expect Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce to get off immediately in the first half. Probably, don't be shocked if it's 17-3, 5 minutes in, because that's what they do. Okay? They're amazing. They are the defending Super Bowl champions. They know how, they already have gotten the inkling of what it takes to win this kind of thing already. All right? But they're not going to have any kind of problems at all throwing this ball. Carl, you alluded to something earlier, man, that Tampa Bay secondary, they're real exploitable. Every time they face the quarterback that can push it downfield, they've been exposed. You know, the only time I remember them looking good in the last four or five games was when they played Drew Brees, and he had a he was injured, you know. And they made that kid Taylor Heinicke or whatever his name was from Washington, they made him look like a franchise quarterback for a minute. You know, and then you have to add in the fact that, you know, Brady has been really, really, let's admit it, he's been really horrible, man. You know, I mean, you know, the game against the Packers lost that game. The Tampa Bay didn't lose it, you know, didn't beat them. You know, it was an extreme series of miscues, but for them to win that game, and Packers blew it. And then you have to think about the other game with the Saints, you know. All those three touchdown drives, they went, I don't know how many combined yards that was, but they were all short fields that they were giving off turnovers. Okay. So like playing the Chiefs now, they ain't going to be so fortunate with the starting field positions, but with all that and let me add another thing. I think Billy Bob might've alluded to it. What was that about Tyreek Hill? Look, they're going to get off. I'm not worried about that. Look, this is what I do have to say though. This is what I do have to say, and I'm going to get off. I can't stand Tom Brady. Everybody knows that. It's no secret. I've been saying that for 20 years. But you know what? But
why?
You know what?
I don't get it, though. I don't understand why.
But you know
why?
What?
I don't understand that.
But you know what's going to happen? He's going to win this game. He's going to win this game. They have been doing it on the road with smoke and mirrors and just a lot of goddamn Vaseline and Band-Aids. And now they're here at home. Okay, against a team that's already the Super Bowl champion. And Brady has so much to prove in legacy form. And Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles and everybody have already bought into it. They understand what this game means to everything, to that city, to Brady's legacy, to Bruce Arians, to that franchise, everything. Team is going to win. They may not blow them out, all right? But the truth of the matter is, the Buccaneers are going to win that goddamn game, and I don't want anybody to be shocked about that shit. The Buccaneers defensive front, especially with Villa coming back, is going to wreak enough havoc to keep this one from going in the fucking mid-50s and shit. Now, I got to admit, Kansas City secondary, they're legit, and their pass rush came alive against Buffalo, and woo, let me tell you. Spagnuolo, damn, he's been a wizard so far in these playoffs, man. You see what he did to Josh Allen and Buffalo's passing games and digs in them. That number actually was inflated by garbage time, if you really watch that game again. All right? Truth of the matter is there were other things that happened, like bad calls, like timely turnovers, like just a whole lot of unsuspected shit. And what happens is if any of y'all have ever played poker before, and you sitting there with the old wise cat, and you know goddamn well you got three queens in your hand, and you think you're going to fucking win, okay? You have to watch that cat that's been sitting there for the last 20 years, because he also got a little play that he's going to do, okay? And he's not going to show you his poker face. That's what Brady does. That's where Brady's at. And he's about to win. What's he got? 6 rings on his finger, right? He's got what? He beat Seattle, Atlanta, Carolina, the Eagles, and 2 different fucking Rams franchises. He's going to do it again. Don't be shocked. This is the game he's been waiting for. He moved away from his given city, his other home, to come down here to prove a point. And he's getting ready to prove it on Sunday. And I can't stand the motherfucker, but I got to give it to him because he's a legend, whether I like it or not. That's all I got to say.
Let's make it official, man. We only got a couple of minutes. Don't want to get cut off, man. Carl, make your official pick, man. Super Bowl, who wins, what you eating for the game, how you watching the game, and then we'll move on to everybody else and we get off, man. Carl, what you eating, who wins the game, how you watching it?
I got the ribs in the freezer with the half chicken. Ready to roll.
Nice.
It's going down. I could go out for the game. They got some of the places down here that are showing it. But you know what? No. I got the beer. I got the liquor. I got the food. I'm going to get that cooking rack around 12 o'clock. So I'm all ready. And 5:30, 6:30, whenever that game starts, I'm ready to roll. Damn, I got to pick a team. Man, I like both of these teams. You know what? I'm going to take the Chiefs. I'll pick them. But like Chris said, I got a sneaky suspicion that Tom pulls this thing out if he's got a chance with 3 minutes to go.
All right, man. Shout outs to Carl, man. Thank you very much. Isaac, same questions, man. What you eating, how you're watching it. You said Tampa Bay earlier. You can make it official now if you want to double down on it.
Yep. Tampa Bay 38, Kansas City 31. And I'm gonna have wings. I'm going to have my prop bets going. And I'll tell you what, the best prop bet I found, one is Brady over a half-yard rushing plus 240, and somebody plus 1,000 to score 8 points on one drive.
Man, crazy.
Those are my 2 favorite prop bets.
He's going with the prop bets, man, on the rush yard. Shout-outs to Isaac, man. Thank you very much, man. Billy Bob, man, who you got? What you eating for the game? How you watching it? And then, of course, Chris, and then we'll wrap up.
I want to know, is this Mike Remmers that used to play for us?
Yeah, same guy.
Yeah, played last
Whoa.
Year. Yeah.
If that's the same Remmers, I know Todd Bowles and them going back into that Super Bowl where they watch Remmers get his ass kicked when he was playing for Carolina when he fumbled, when he got Cam Newton to fumble
right.
the first time and the last time. Whoa,
that's
this
right.
ain't nothing but a seesaw battle. So I don't could go either way. If that's that same Mike Remmers, damn, JPB and them boys are looking at their chops like they got one. And chicken wings, and I'm by myself. I got to watch this Olo because I want to know, can the Giants, like, take a wide receiver from out of there, take Sammy Watkins? Is he a free agent? Somebody. You know, somebody be watching
yeah,
closely.
Really. Really? That's right.
Neither
oh, man. Okay,
so. Who's your pick? I didn't get that. Who's your pick?
Yeah, who you pick?
Oh, who I'm picking? Oh, I said all that there. I still got around Kansas City.
Kansas City? All right. Kansas City.
Yeah, I'll go with Kansas City. I don't know the score, but they might win by three.
Okay.
All right, that's the spread,
too. Steve, I got wings and Steve, I got wings and Heinegans. Okay?
All right.
And the Chief is going to bring the pressure with Chris Jones and Frank Clark, and I see Honey Badger Matthews going to make some impact plays in the secondary, and it's going to be a bang-up job. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is Brady's day, and he's going to win 31-27 again and piss me off for another year, but he's going to do it. There's a method in that madness, and it's down in Tampa Bay. So here we go. And it's hard to win back-to-back Super Bowls this time if you don't have Brady. Whether you have high-powered Matt Mahomes or not. So, there we go.
Yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs. I just think they're top-heavy with the talent. Somebody made the point as far as the contract situation with the Kansas City, and I think that does play a lot to it. But, you know, Tom Brady, like you said, Chris, has this crazy motivation, but I don't know if that's going to be enough to overcome this type of offense for the Chiefs that they're bringing to the table. We all know they're a dangerous threat, and it's just impossible to stop, even despite their offensive line woes going into this game. I'm going with the Chiefs. I would not be surprised if the Bucs did win, but it's been a fun episode getting everybody's picks from everybody. Going back to the hockey show, shout-outs to Craig, shout-outs to Blinn, shout-outs to RP for the hoops, shout-outs to Dom and Live and Knickerbocker Ave, Coach Chris, and now Carl, Isaac, Billy Bob, Chris, and myself. We've all made our Super Bowl picks this week on different individual episodes. Fun discussion. Now, guys, we'll be back next Thursday. We can actually, you know, shed some light on the game just for this Sunday coming up. We'll be back on 8 p.m. to discuss our squad in this offseason on an every other week basis. So definitely next Thursday, other week, we'll have some fun topics for the Big Blue analyzation where we go with this offseason. Of course, free agency episodes, stakeholder mock draft episodes, all the way up into the NFL draft in Cleveland, Ohio. We're going to be on an every other week basis, 8 p.m. Thursdays, man. So look forward
every
to
other week.
Dialogue, talking our squad and around the league, man. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all the shebang, man.
Yep.
Great dialogue from great sports fans here on the Bleed Blue Show, man. Super Bowl episode, Chiefs versus the Bucks. See you guys next Thursday. And we might even have some overtimes next week, man. Get some overtimes popping, all right?
All right. That'd be good. Sangre azul, gentlemen.
Good. Sangre azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it?
Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.